Hi, I'm Jerry Usher along with Debbie Giorgiani and you. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Our producer and also today's social media man is Michael Birchfield, and we've got Ryan Penny on the phones. And Debbie, we're going to have an interesting conversation, I think. We're going to have to maybe flesh this out a little bit for people so that they can get the gist of what we're going to be talking about.
But wait a minute. I have a bone to pick with you already.
You do? Okay.
On live radio? Yes, on live radio. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I waved to you three times. You didn't wave back. Can you not see me on Skype?
Yeah. you know what? I was looking somewhere else, I think.
Oh, I was going, what is the matter with him? How come I waved him three times? I look like a fool here waving. I'm going, hello, Jerry. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Are you there? I'm teasing you. Okay, good. I'm so glad that we are at least connected. By the way, I just wanted to say many prayers go to all the folks going up the East Coast. I understand the storms. I was watching it on the news. I couldn't believe that the newscasters were out there in the midst of the storm, right in the middle, and they're getting blown all over the place. I can't even imagine how people feel in their homes. It must be just scared beyond belief. So please know that many prayers are going to all of you who are facing these storms. And then also, too, Jerry, I understand that the fire that is just not too far, what is like 30 miles from you, is only 7% contained, and they're starting to people are really starting to evacuate, and it's very bad. We know because we can hardly breathe here in Arizona because the air is coming this way. So Jerry, prayers as well. I guess your fire season hasn't even started. It's not officially started. It's not supposed to be till September, right? So we got a lot of things we have to pray for. All these natural disasters and fires and things that are happening. This is really tough for people right now. Plus, in the middle of a heat wave, right?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Unseasonably warm recently, too, so thank you for the prayers for that. Real quickly, too, I just want to squeeze in another prayer intention from Lorraine, who emailed last night, take2@ewtn.com. Their pastor, Father Kieran, at St. John Vianney Parish in Sedona, Arizona, has been in a coma due to a brain bleed for 5 weeks. It turns out he was about to celebrate Mass and wasn't feeling right, asked somebody to take him to the hospital. He almost didn't make it to the hospital, but he has been in a coma for about 5 weeks. They're praying. Lorraine says, we know he's not going to be coming back to us, so pray for our new pastor. So we just like to get the Take-Two family praying when there are important intentions like that.
I did not know that. That really shocks me. I'm surprised. I must have been out of the communication on that. I know, Father Kieran. Oh, my goodness. That is not good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh. I will make some calls to see if there's anything we can do here locally to, I'm sure people are already praying though. We have a very prayerful, diocese. Wow. A brain bleed. That's tough. Jerry, real quickly, on a brighter note, our book, Trustful Surrender is going to print soon, and all of the wonderful stories, over 10 stories, real life stories are in there about loved ones who've left the faith and their journey back home and the twists and turns, ups and downs, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so Trustful Surrender hopefully will be coming out in September. We're super excited about that. So that's a good thing. And that was all really written by our Take Two listeners. So how wonderful is that?
We've been looking forward to that for a long time. And our thanks to the folks at the publishing arm of EWTN for that. Okay, setting up today's topic for you to call in. This is the program where we present a topic and you think about it for a moment, pray about it, and all of a sudden that light bulb goes off and you say, yeah, you know what? I've got something to contribute to this conversation. So imagine just for a minute your BC days, okay? We all have them, the before Christ days in our lives. Our question to you is, how are you different now than you were maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20, 30 years ago? As you've matured and your faith life has grown, have you found yourself shedding some past friends, making new ones? Do you look back in amazement at the people you used to hang out with and the things you used to do together? You don't have to be specific, but Debbie, I think every one of us we all have our story when it comes to this topic today, I believe.
If any of my old friends want to call in, please don't share any deep, dark secrets. No details of how I used to be a lot of fun back in the day. I'm quite boring now.
Oh, you're still a lot of fun.
Thank you. I was hoping for that. I was fishing for that. You're just trying to make up for the fact that I waved to you several times and I look like a fool and you didn't wave back, but that's okay.
You're right. Just to make up.
Jerry, no, it's true though. This is interesting. And did you put this on the calendar? And I love the fact, I love the angle with the synopsis that you took about this idea of conversion is a lifelong process. And with that, we gain friends, but we can also lose friends because some of those friends drop off thinking, I don't recognize Debbie Giorgione or Jerry Usher anymore. I'm not hanging out with them. They're no fun anymore, right? And so, but what do we do about that? Do we try to cling to the past as we are marching to the future where we know we're getting closer to God? Or do we very gracefully and charitably let those friends go because they're not on that same path? This is a very interesting question. I hope, here it goes. Our listeners are weighing in and Ryan Penny is ready to answer their phones at 833-288-3986.
Well, like I said, everybody, I think, can relate to this. And you're right, Debbie. I think sometimes rather than consciously shedding friends or them dumping us, if you will, I think there are times, situations, circumstances where it just happens. It just happens that you start going to church. You become someone who takes your faith more seriously. You're not going to go out with the guys on weeknights. You're not going to go out with the ladies on weeknights, whatever. You're going to stop swearing, maybe telling dirty jokes. I mean, these are all the things that so many of us have done at some point in our lives. And then the Lord gets a hold of us and we realize, you know, we have to wean ourselves off of this stuff. And how has that impacted your relationships with family, with friends, with coworkers? Tell us about your faith journey to where you are today and any challenges or blessings you may experience on the way at 833-288-3986.
My mind just goes into strange places. Every time we do a title, you always think of a song because that comes from your disc jockey days, correct? So you always have a song that rattles through your head. For me, it's commercials. Okay. And for me, I don't know if this was a national commercial or not. Maybe it was just local to my area, but there was a commercial way back in the day where there was a family running to get tickets to go to a movie, and one of their kids fell to the ground and dropped, and the parents didn't want to miss out, so they just said, leave them, and they left the kid and kept running. It's really funny, and I've often thought about, could that be like what we have to almost do with friends? It's really quite sad. Do we want to really leave them laying on the ground there, or do we assist them and pick up the cross with them? Let's talk about it at 833-288-3986.
It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. Thank you, affiliates, as always, for carrying the program. And many of you, along with EWTN Television, will be carrying the Knights of Columbus 138th Supreme Convention live on EWTN Television and many EWTN radio stations starting tonight at 8 p.m. on EWTN TV. Oh, it'll be on Radio Essentials. It won't be on the regular radio feed of EWTN, but TV and Radio Essentials, and when the Knights of Columbus come together, and it's not going to be all of them, I understand, because of the social distancing and all of that, but Marty, Debbie's husband, is a fourth-degree knight. I'm a fourth-degree knight, and the work of the Knights of Columbus is so important, so please try to tune in tonight, 8 p.m., on EWTN Television or Radio Essentials.
Marty wants to get the regalia. I don't know if I want to spend that kind of money. Do you have the regalia? Can we just borrow yours?
Well, they changed, you know. They changed their hats.
Oh, that's true. Do you have regalia?
I never had a hat. No, I've got the tux and the thing that goes across the sash across your chest, and well, I never got a sword either.
You didn't get a sword. That's all Marty wants. Forget it. Forget it. We'll pass. Maybe next Christmas. Okay. We have some open phone lines. Ryan Penny is really, he is truly able to answer the call he wants to. He just has to hear your beautiful voice. So all you got to do is call in. We're a very friendly, safe place to call in. In fact, I think we may be, if I'm not sure, I may be wrong about this. We may be the only show that has like these open mics the way we do with topics rather than like a question and answer thing. I'm not sure. We'd have to check on that. Michael Birchfield, our producer, he's so good. He knows everything. He can check on it. Okay, the number to dial is 833-288-3986. That's the number to call. If they could see me now, Isn't that a song? If they could see me now? It is.
Well, it probably is. And that's the question we're asking all of ourselves right now. Dear listeners of Take Two, think about it just for a minute. If people you knew and hung out with and did things with and spent time with and so forth, if they could see you now, are you different? I mean, have you grown closer to Christ? Has people's perception of you changed over the years, especially because you've grown in your faith? Maybe there have been people from your past life who have turned to you to similarly make positive changes in their lives. Maybe you've been an influence in people because you took the walk toward Christ and others got a hold of you and said, hey, I like what I see. How can I do that? So the number is 833-288-3986.
Okay, Teresa, I hope I get this right, in Groton, Connecticut. EWTN app is the way you're listening. Teresa, welcome to Take Two.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I heard your topic yesterday and decided, prayed about it all night. If people could see me now, a lot of people do see me now. I used to be a feminist, a roaring feminist, and radical lesbian. I was raised in a devout Irish Catholic home, and one of the things that, as a catechist, I'm now a catechist, I try to tell the parents is praying for your children really can work. It was the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said, this life isn't for you, mostly over the abortion issue. Then God used a 2x4 and then a 4x6, and I became very sick. In my illness, all of my faith came rushing back, and even though I didn't know about divine mercy, I asked the Lord for his mercy. I'm still sick, but I am now married to a devout Catholic, Sir Knight, fourth degree, with the regalia. I am a catechist, confirmation teacher. My life is completely different. I have run into people in my past. The lesbians in my past don't want to have anything to do with me. I think they're afraid of me. And the fact is that my family sees me as totally different. Some of them can deal with it, some of them can't. I wrote a blog, and one of the lines that I wrote was, I used to walk as if I deserved, but now I walk with Christ and say, I will serve. Wow. Try not to cry. My life is so different and so full of grace, even in the bad times, that I just want everybody to know, no matter what your sin is, if you ask God to inflame your confirmation gifts, to give you his mercy and turn to his mother, your life can become something you never dreamed of, never dreamed of. And I feel like I'm going to stop babbling, but I am so grateful. And I pray for those people who don't want to know me now. Yeah.
Right. But I
think it's really important. I mean, God led me out of that life. I didn't know what to do to get out. I think my illness was a great gift of God because I really had no choice but to recognize I was not ready to go meet him. That's exactly what I said to him. If I die right now, I can't explain my life. So please give me another chance and have mercy on my soul. And I prayed the Hail Mary and the Memorare, and which I remembered. And things started to turn around. I was homesick for 13 years. Very few visitors. I read the Catechism, the Bible. I watched EWTN 24/7. In my life today, I wouldn't change a thing.
Mm. Teresa, you are a beautiful, beautiful soul. You said a couple moments ago, you said, well, I'm just babbling on now. And I would say, oh, no, you weren't babbling at all. Everything that came out of your mouth was wisdom and insights and really Holy Spirit inspired, I believe. And the part that really caught me is I have seen this. I have had same sex attracted friends before, and that in the circles that they run in, it is often so hard for them to accept the faith, to know the faith, to love God, and take that path themselves because they feel discriminated against. The church teaches love, but the church teaches love in chastity and in holy, godly relationships. And so I think that's why, you know, some of your lesbian friends didn't want anything to do with you at that point. But you had the seeds. You had the seeds planted by your parents, obviously. You mentioned the devout Irish Catholic home. You are now a catechist because you're able to take not only what you received growing up from your family, but you said you studied the catechism, you prayed, that you studied the scriptures, you had those 13 years when you were ill. Debbie, it reminds me
a
of
retreat.
Jesus.
It's
yeah,
a retreat,
retreat
in
but
the
it
desert.
Reminds me of Jesus, mm-hmm. where he was, you know, 30 years before he launched his public ministry mm-hmm. in preparation mm-hmm. for that. I think it's a beautiful call, Teresa.
Absolutely. I picked up on that as well, what Jerry's saying. It's in preparation. You know, Teresa, when as I was hearing your story unfold and you were sharing with us where you are today, I was thinking, wow, you must have, when you look back, I wonder if you really knew how much you were in bondage back then, and now you are free. You are free to be the Teresa that God wants you to be, and you can live that life in an abundant way. And the illness was used for your own good, and that's the beauty of it. You may and I would love for you. You shared your story today and got quite emotional at the end of it, and because you can actually hear through the radio airwaves the love that you have for God and how your quest for finding God brought you to where you are today. But I agree with Jerry. The foundation was laid for you when you were a child. That's a great thing, and that's important for all of us parents to realize, and especially when our kids take a different path, that we laid the best foundation we possibly could, and hopefully they will come cling back to that when time is right. But for you, Teresa, I just am so happy for you that you are free, and I pray that those friends of yours from your past who are same-sex attracted, someday they will come to that realization that they can be free. They think they're free now, when in actuality they are really being held down to be, and it's not a good thing, because we are meant to live an abundant life. What do you think about that, Teresa?
I think you're absolutely right. when I first got email, I wrote bound letter to be free, because the Catholic Church, you have the freedom to know what you should know and that stuff. And everybody misunderstood that email address, so I had to get rid of it. But I often say that to people. If you are Catholic, if you totally understand the Catholic Church, you are free, more free than you ever will be in your life, because you know where your boundaries are, what your parameters are, and you don't have to worry about knowing whether or not something is right or wrong. You automatically know that from your Catholic, you know, instruction. And I thank you very much. I asked Father Mitch Packwell a long time ago on an EW10 Live if I should share with my students my conversion story, and his advice was, no, just tell them that you led a life of sin, because you don't want to give them license. So it was very prayerful, you know, all night praying whether or not I should say this on the radio, but I'm mm-hmm. grateful that I did. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Teresa. Well, first of all, you know, the majority of our listeners are all adults, okay, and they've all lived, you know, very full lives, so that's a good thing. The other thing, too, is I would put your story down in a book form or some kind of...
I have it on a blog.
Good. Good, because people need to read that, Teresa. And I just want to say one other thing real quickly, if I may. And Jerry, you know exactly where I'm going with this, because we talk about this all the time. Satan is so clever in how he twists and manipulates different words that mean things for us as Catholics, right? And so every time when you talk to somebody who's left the Catholic Church, or you talk to someone who's not a Catholic but has heard a lot of things about Catholics, they'll often say, oh, that is such a rigid faith. You know, you guys are oppressed.
Right.
You guys stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. I mean, you guys are robots. No, it's exactly the opposite. We are free to fully flourish. And that is the beauty of the Catholic faith. And I encourage people to please, if you've walked away, revisit it and really look at it from a different angle. And you'll see that you will be the best of you coming into the Catholic faith. Thanks, Teresa, so very much. What do you think, Jerry? I know I'm preaching to the choir here.
Well, you absolutely are. And my last comment on this is I really want to say, really, to two groups of people. One, the parents, as Debbie already said, you've laid the best foundation that you possibly can. And so if one of your children or both, two of them or more, go off into whatever, whether it's same-sex lifestyle or just partying, drugs, living on the street, whatever, you've laid the foundation and God's Holy Spirit is going to work. The Holy Spirit's going to water those seeds. And for anyone who is experiencing same-sex attraction, maybe you're inspired by what Teresa said and you would like to find a way to maybe get back your faith or come into the faith for the first time ever. Now is not a bad time, folks, with everything going on in the world right now. It's a very good time to be asking questions like this. So thank you, Teresa. You have totally blessed our show this morning. We appreciate hearing from you.
Thank you very much. God bless you all.
Thank
God
you, Teresa. You. Call anytime. Okay, I just wanted to reset the topic here because we have some folks texting saying they want to call in. They just want to make sure that they're calling in on the right topic. And so, Jerry, you titled it, If They Could See Me Now. We're talking about this lifelong conversion process that we all, the journey that we're all on, where we get deeper in our faith, we get closer to God, and in those people of our past, our childhood or when we were young adults, you know, they saw us a certain way. And now if they met us today, would that be the same person they meet, you know, or are they that person completely different and you have nothing in common anymore? Or would your kind of your old friends, quote unquote, would they say to you, hey, you know, you used to be a blast when we used to hang out at the bars and this and that. And now look what happened to you. You became a church person, you know, or something like that. What would be their comments? How do you feel about it? What happened to the relationships? Maybe you brought a lot of people along with you and encouraged them to go deeper in their faith. We want to hear all angles of this, but Jerry titled it, If They Could See Me Now. I love that title, and I hope folks call in.
Yeah, the phone number, Rita, hang on, we'll get to you in a second. It's 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. If I don't share this now, it'll take about a minute, Rita, so hang on. My mind will forget about it because I usually get up out of a chair and start going down the hall to look for something, and by the time I get out the door, I've forgotten what I was going to look for. So, but I remember in high school, I went to a little high school in Washington State on the coast, and we had about 150 students in our from ninth grade on up to senior. And we had a high school exchange trip, so we wanted to go to the big city, you know. We wanted to go where, so we chose Long Island, New York, and got to go into New York City and the Statue of Liberty and the World Trade Center, Empire State Building and all this. And I got really enamored of one of the girls from, it was John Glenn High School on Long Island, and we were dating sort of from 3,500 miles away for a few years, you know, one visit one direction, the other visit the other direction. And then we sort of went our separate ways, Debbie, and when she found out that I was in the seminary studying for the priesthood, she was from a Catholic family, but the first thing she said is, what a waste. What a waste. Now, I can take that as a compliment because maybe she's saying, wow, you're too good looking for that. But there was a deficient understanding of the priesthood as well. Mm-hmm. So you see, that's the point of what we're talking about today. If they could see you now, how would they see you differently from maybe 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago? 833-288-3986. I promise not to hog. I'll let Rita get in and talk to Debbie in just a minute here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
If They Could See Me Now, that's the title of today's topic, and we would love for you to join in and add to this discussion. You always do. Your wisdom, your life experiences always shape the discussion, and we walk away a little bit changed, hopefully a little bit closer to God. So please call in at 833-288-3986. And I understand, Jerry, we have a comment that came in via social media that you're going to share in reference to Teresa's call.
Yeah, real briefly before we go to Rita, Gloria is watching the video feed on YouTube. She says, Teresa, I have struggled like you as well with same-sex attraction. I have made the choice to stay put with the Lord, and I know I will probably lose my friends who are in the lifestyle actively. My conversion has been unfolding slowly, but I have left the lifestyle because I was not happy, and the Lord revealed that to me. Now I have gained my spiritual family. So that's a beautiful account from Gloria.
Thank you, Gloria. Gloria, and I'm sure Teresa is so happy that you shared that comment about your life experience. I agree with that. You know, it's hard to lose friends. Nobody. I mean, if you were to poll people and you said, hey, if you could just, you know, all your friends, I could magically make them disappear overnight, you wouldn't want that. You know, it's a tough thing because you work hard to make friends and to gain trust and to have that circle of people around you that kind of travel with you. So it could be tough. So when people make these huge faith jumps in life, right? It comes with sometimes feeling a little bit of a sense of loneliness because you're doing it on your own. This is your faith journey. Let's hear what Rita has to say in Akron, Ohio. And Rita is listening on The Rock. Hi, Rita. Welcome.
Hi. First, I thought I'd tell you how I changed in the last chunk of years since coming back to the Catholic Church. And the first one is that I've been taught how to love, what real love is, and how to love people that don't agree with me, that I don't like, that don't want to talk to me, or that I just have a hard time. That's the number one thing. And I have learned what sin is and how to avoid it. I didn't understand what the near occasion of sin meant years ago, but now I do. And that's very helpful. I don't worry that I have to, like, win a debate or argument anymore. I can just refer them to my church, which helps me form opinions and see what truth is. And also, I know how to pray so much better now. I now know what to do with an hour of my time that's dedicated to prayer. I have prayers to refer to. I have positions that I can get into. I have different places to go. And before, I was kind of lost if I had an hour to myself to read the Bible and interpret it myself and say my own words. And since telling you how I've changed, I thought you might be interested how I did come back to the Catholic Church. And I was a staunch Catholic up until I was 18, but I did follow born-again Christians. I thought it was the right thing to do. I started going to non-denominational churches and listening to pastors interpret the Bible for me and let me interpret it myself. And it was the issues mostly about life, abortion, artificial birth control that made me look back at the Catholic Church because I was looking for answers and I was so confused. So that's how I got back into the Catholic Church with my, first confession and then going back and wholeheartedly. So when I came back to the Catholic Church, I did lose the person I called my best friend. She was a high school friend, and she felt that we had no reason to stay in touch anymore, that my beliefs were too different from hers, that we weren't going to be able to talk. And so this is how I love her now. I thought, how shall a Christian respond to this kind of thing? And I know she doesn't want to talk to me, so I made a few phone calls, and I stopped once they weren't returned. But I just send a note every few months, a letter just saying how much I loved the time I spent with her, how much she meant to me, how much I still love her anytime she wants to start talking again. And I always interject a new truth that I've learned, such as the words that Christ said, this is my body, this is my blood. And I cite the verse. And the Catholic Church has taught me how to love someone who doesn't want to be my friend. Oh, one more thing. Dropping or having lost my best friend made way for my husband to become my best friend now. And mm-hmm. I'll end with that.
Wow, what a great point to put on there at the end, Rita. Thank you so much for all that you shared. And it's beautiful how God can take us on these amazing journeys. You said you were raised in a staunch Catholic home until you were 18. And then for whatever reasons, you felt like you had to go over in this other direction with a, I think you might have said, non-denominational or evangelical group or something. And I, too, I had something very similar. I was not raised with a lot of Catholic formation because my parents divorced. We didn't get the first sacraments and so forth. We had an uncle who was a priest, so he provided a lot of that. But I remember, of all places, I was hanging out late at night. Here you go, talking about my BC days, hanging out in front of a 7-Eleven, and there are these guys, you know, preaching and evangelizing about the Lord, you know, and they're totally just they're home church based. They had no denomination, no anything like that. But it was through meeting them and going and just fellowshipping with them and praising God and learning to, like you said, learning to pray, learning to love the scriptures better. I already knew all of these things to a certain point. But this, God can do this for us. And I think it's beautiful that he did that for you. And now what you're doing for this friend, just kind of tapping her every now and then, I'm still here. I love you. And let the Holy Spirit and Debbie, I'm sure you would say their guardian angels, do the rest.
Absolutely. You're being Christ to that wonderful friend of yours, Rita. And I just wanted to go back real quickly on some of the things you shared about your story and how it unfolded. When you said you don't feel the need to have to win debates anymore, or arguments, you know, it's interesting. When you become, I think, a fully authentic Christian, you know what the end prize is. So you keep your focus on that. And I think it becomes healthy to pick, you know, battles and to know when to speak, when to listen, when to retreat, when to really go forth. And it's really an interesting journey. I would encourage folks, if you've never really understood what it means to be a Christian, really dive into it deeply. Because I think the word is used loosely, and it has so much more depth to it once you are in it. Right, Rita? And I'm sharing about your specific life journey, which has, I wrote, let's see, 7 things based on your life. It has a lot of depth.
Yes, and my point was that, it was pride that got in the way that said that I had to be right and I had to convince this person, but I want Jesus and the Spirit to go before me. And I also was saying that it's the Catholic, we need that help. This is so important in life. We don't have to know the answers on our own or interpret scripture on our own. We need the help of the Catholic Church, and it has helped me a great deal.
Beautiful. We got a strong name, a great Saint Rita. I love Saint Rita. Mm-hmm. Do you pray?
I was named after her, yeah.
Yeah. Do you call on Saint Rita? She's very active, you know.
Yes, I do. I'm learning about all the saints. I am all done ignoring the saints of our history.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we should all have an army of saints around us right now. I mean, very true. I have a big army. I think I do anyway. It keeps me comforted.
I have a whole litany that I pray to every morning. So, Rita, thank you so much. God bless you. Welcome home. You didn't say how long it's been, but welcome back to the Catholic Church. And our prayers will continue to be with you as you just grow closer and closer to God and to holiness. So thanks for joining us here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Thanks, Rita. Okay, Carol is up next in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on Holy Spirit Radio. Hi, Carol. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
I understand that you live in Arizona.
I do. And you have somebody in Arizona. I live in the East Valley. It's called Gilbert, Arizona. It's probably one of the fastest growing cities in the country.
And that's on the east side?
It's East Valley, yes. Yes. Do you have someone in Arizona?
Yes, in Tucson. They just moved there 9 months ago.
Wow. Okay, that's about an hour and a half.
My grandchildren, my three grandchildren are there.
Nice. That's about an hour and a half. So, yeah, so tell us all about your story, Carol.
Well, when I was, I wasn't always Catholic, so I remember going to Bible school all the time. That's what we did when I was growing up, and Sunday school, and I remember it was on the top of a high hill. I must have been about between 10 and 12 years old. And I remember the lady saying, if you wanted to accept Jesus as your Savior. And so when I was walking back home, I did that. I looked out over the hill, and I remember, even today, remember how I mouthed the words that she said about, I accept Jesus into my heart. And I never would have dreamed the pilgrimage, I'd call it, that God put me on, because that led me to the church, which I think is the true faith. And it's changed my whole life. I mean, I've had a lot of sorrow in my life and a lot of things that happened that I didn't plan like that, but the pilgrimage that I walked on with the Lord and leading me to the church, I remember when I was 20, I was first brought into, you know, I got my first Mass, and I remember it felt like I was coming home. That's all I can think, that it was beautiful, and I thought, this is where I want to be. And like I said, it hasn't been easy. A lot of the church problems and my own personal problems have been very difficult, and it has been hard sometimes to stay with the church and to, you know, but I mean, I feel like the mercy and grace of God is there. And I remember saying to a friend one time, I would never be Catholic. And I was must have been about like 16 then. And my parents were Presbyterian and still are. And he used to kid me, said, I remember when you said you would never be Catholic. Like, and I said it like that, I'd never be Catholic, you know. And well, he has since passed away. He was my best friend. But it's just been an amazing and spirit-filled walk.
Well, it is an amazing journey, and God takes us at the pace that he knows we can handle, and each one of us is different. He deals with each of us differently. I'm reminded, Carol, of the late Father Benedict Rochelle. I'm sure you know who he was. He is resting in peace now, God willing. And he used to jokingly say to a lot of non-Catholics who would talk to him about you know, the sex abuse scandals and different problems going on in the Catholic Church, and all he would say to them is, come on in, it's awful. Come on in, it's awful. And I could do it in his, come on in, it's awful, you know, like Father Benedict Rochelle. But I'll tell you, and you know, you were told you got to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and that is correct. Every day, Jesus says, unless you take up your cross and follow me daily, you cannot be my disciple. Carol, you know that. Debbie, what do you think?
Yeah, I think when you make that decision to follow Christ, when you make that conscious decision, you say, you know, I want Christ to be, you know, my leader. I want that. It's an interesting thing that happens, I think, inside. Did you find, Carol, at that time when you first made that first decision, did something happen inside of you that was like almost like a burst of growth or energy that happened? Because I find it very, I've often read stories about people that you know, chose to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Tell us, Carol.
Yes, it was. It was an amazing thing. And I was, like I said, I was a child. But what I tell people now is that I have always was a Christian, and that this journey that God put me on in accepting him as my Lord and Savior brought me to the true faith. And that's mm-hmm. how I tell them. I said, we are Christians in the Catholic faith. We're not some kind of pagan people. You know, we do accept Jesus as our Savior. And I think that's lost a lot, especially I've been Catholic now for 40 years. This is my 41st year this year. So it's been a long walk, and mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people have this misconception who are Christians, faithful Christians who aren't Catholic, think that, you know, that we, you mm-hmm. know, don't have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And I think that's coming back into the church in its fullness now. A lot of people will, you know, use that phrase that they have a personal relationship with Jesus, that they have a prayer life, that they read the Bible, that they, you know, delve into the lives of the saints and the catechism. I feel like those things are all tools and mm-hmm. instruments that lead us into the depth of knowing who Christ is.
Right. Well, you would be happy, Carol, because I think a friend of ours, Steve Ray, does great job in his ministry work of really educating and inform folks who don't come from a Catholic tradition to understand that we are in fact Christians, and it's very interesting. So he helps with some of his videos and some of the ministry work he does because he came from the background of feeling, right, Jerry, of feeling when he was growing up, you know, that these Catholics aren't Christian, and he really went into Scripture and proved it. It was really quite beautiful.
Never fails.
You know, there's so many good writers out there, like you said, that Scott Hahn and Matthew Kelly, who really are delving into that strong personal relationship to work on that. It's just like a friendship that you and a walk with that gets better, like as you mature in the Lord.
Right. So real quickly, I have to ask, is your daughter in Tucson, is she practicing Catholic?
She is not.
She's not. Okay.
When she got married, she chose her husband's church. So
okay.
I miss them terribly. Evelyn Wood is going to be 7 on Saturday. And Samuel is going to be, he's 6. And little Marigold, they moved when she was first born. She was only 3 weeks old. She will be, next month, will be a year old.
Wow.
I miss them terribly. And they were going to come here, but because of the virus, we just didn't think it was safe.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, we hope you get to see them and again. And yeah, Tucson's a beautiful place to visit. When everything opens up, you know, you may want to visit. It's absolutely beautiful.
I did go at Christmas. I was
good
there at Christmas, and it is beautiful. When you're flying in and you see the mountains, it's like, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah, you're in the middle of the desert, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Real quickly, Jerry, friend Gigi just said, we are Christian, and capital Christians. That's very true.
Amen, amen.
Yeah.
Well, and Carol, it's a blessing to know that your daughter and her husband are, it sounds like they're going to a Christian church. I know you'd rather have them in the Catholic church, but that's better than no exposure to Christ or the Bible or anything at all. And your prayers are just going to continue to bear fruit in their lives. So God bless you, Carol. Thanks for calling Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Thank you.
So appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, bless you. Bye. Thank you. I mentioned earlier, EWTN Radio Essentials is going to be carrying the 138th Knights of Columbus Supreme Convention starting tonight. Also on EWTN Radio Essentials are the Mass every 2 hours during this pandemic time, rosaries, Divine Mercy chaplets, Stations of the Cross, and other devotionals every hour. So if you're looking to build up your faith life and you want to do it a little bit more fervently during the times we're living in right now, check out EWTN Radio Essentials on the EWTN app, the smart speakers, or EWTN.com.
At the beginning of the show, Jerry, I shared, I said, I hope no one calls in from my past. Well, this person's not only from my past, she's my present and my future. A beautiful, beautiful soul that everybody gets to hear her voice. I cannot believe she's a first-time caller. I thought she called before, but she's listening on Sirius XM 130. She's from Asheville, North Carolina, and her name is Kristen. Yes, my oldest and dearest friend / sister. Hello, Kristen.
Hello, Debbie and Jerry. How
Hi,
are
Kristen.
You?
Hi, Kristen. Great. Better now that you called.
Good to be on. Well, I'm calling in because I have had a front row seat to Debbie's spiritual journey. I've seen it for 53 years. We've been friends for 53 years. Is that right, Debbie?
That is correct. Yeah, that is correct. Wow. Thanks for telling my age.
Time.
Okay.
Well, that's how long we've been friends, so we both have to be older than that, a little bit.
That's true. But, so, yeah, you've got, just
anyway,
remember you have a global platform, so whatever you want to tell, go right ahead, but be careful. No, just kidding.
Well, I will. But I have to say there are some things that have stayed the same and some things that are different. Some the things that have stayed the same is Debbie was so fun and so kind and an incredibly supportive friend, a loyal friend, and very loving. And that, I can say, has been there forever. We've always been supportive and loving, and when you're friends for that long, you know someone inside and out. One thing that I did see develop was Debbie's faith. you know, she studied it in school, and I just saw her grow stronger and stronger in her faith. And one thing that is so incredible, and I hope I can not get choked up, but Debbie has become more of a mentor to me in faith, and a teacher. And, you know, whenever I'm going through a hard time, when we were younger, we would always talk to each other and be supportive of each other. But now Debbie just guides me into, you know, prayer and digging deep into my faith. So she has helped me to grow in my faith because of her deep growth. And I've watched her faith deepen and deepen and deepen. And now that you are on the air with Jerry and you can share with all of these incredible listeners, and it's just, I'm growing from them also. You know, all of your discussions and all of the issues that you tackle on the Debbie on Take Two is has been incredible for me and helped me grow in my faith also. So thank you. Wow. That's my insight.
Well, I'm a mess, but thank you so very much. I just want to share something that probably, I think you know, Kristen, which is kind of interesting. See, this is the interesting thing about it. I was raised a cradle Catholic, went to Catholic school, okay? But Kristen lived a couple houses up from me. We lived on the same street, and her family were very devout, born-again Christians, very devout. And her dad used to have the coolest thing in his car. He used to have scripture passages on like a key ring. Do you remember that, Kristen?
Yeah.
Okay. And I remember going home as a small child and saying to my parents, why can't we do what he does? I want to have those scripture passages. So in essence, though, Kristen, I must say, thank you so much for paying that beautiful compliment to me. I want to throw that right back to you and your family. Your family, your dad, especially, I remember, so deep into scripture that's what really... It really gave me that desire to go deeper because it was something that he had that I wanted. So I want to say that back to you. Thank you for journeying with me and allowing me to see how you were so strong into scripture, because it actually inspired me to go deeper. So see how this works. And I think that's the beauty of having a strong, tight relationship. And now it unfolds to where we both benefit, right, Kristen? And maybe you might want to share, Kristen. You may want to share. Are you what? Maybe you want to share for our listeners because they like to know everything. What are you practicing right now as a Christian?
Well, I will get to that. But what I first want to say is, if you remember, my parents would let me go to church with you,
that's
and
right.
So that's when I really started to learn about the Catholic faith. And you and I became sisters in Christ in just from learning from each other. But as I got older, I ended up Episcopalian, which was much more similar to Catholicism.
That's right.
And as I've grown, you know, in the Episcopal Church, I also very often worship in the Catholic Church, and I have just, and Debbie has, you have taught me so much about the Catholic faith. And in the Catholic Church, of course, I can't take communion, but I respect that completely. And Debbie, you've taught me, you know, how to participate in the services. And so I am Episcopalian, but I still, absolutely love the Catholic faith and continue to learn more and more about the saints and the Blessed Mother and all of the beautiful things about the Catholic faith. So thank you for that, and I love that we can share our faith walk together and learn. But you know a lot more than I do at this point because you've done it. So
well, I could assure
you, but thank you for that.
I can assure you, Kristen, if everyone listening is like me, they are all inspired by this conversation. Debbie, you and Kristen, it sounds like just an amazing friendship, and the fact that it's centered on Christ, how beautiful is that? And if we all had friends like that, you know, life is just made better. Life is just made better with having friends like that. So thank you, Kristen. We appreciate that call. I want to get to a YouTube comment.
Thank you,
here
Kristen.
Before we
love
end
you.
The broadcast. Mm-hmm. Yes, thanks for the
yes.
call.
Love
Michael
it.
On YouTube, Michael says, I was driving down the street and past the church and had a burst of emotion and felt like I had to go through RCIA. I came into the church finally a little over a month ago. I still listen to the live stream from my home parish of Dunshullen back in home in Ireland. I hope I said that right. Probably not. I listened to the Olivet and Benedictine monks at Holy Cross Abbey, Restivore in County Down. I'm butchering these names, Michael. I'm sorry. A recommend for live stream, visit, and retreat. Please, everyone, please pray for us here in Greater Manchester here in the UK as we are currently in lockdown. Michael, thank you for the comment.
Okay, I'm getting text messages saying that everybody would like a friend like Kristen. Nope, you can't have her. She's mine. Okay. All right, maybe I'll share. No, not really. Okay, self-forgiveness is tomorrow, Jerry, and what a great discussion. We learned so much today, and that's what the Take Two family does. We journey together, but tomorrow we're talking about self-forgiveness. That's a tough thing, Jerry.
It can be very tough for all of us, scrupulosity, just thinking we deserve anything we're getting, and we're just bad people. No, we're going to talk about self-forgiveness tomorrow. Until then, have a beautiful and blessed day. Thank you, and God bless.